Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first recording of this podcast. And I say that because this is actually the third post that I've done to this podcast channel, but it's the first one where I'm recording it specially purposed for it being a podcast. If you may have noticed from the first two posts that I have uploaded to this podcast channel, those were just repurposed YouTube videos where I just pulled the audio, you know, source from those videos and turned them into, you know, audio only MP3s and uploaded them as my first two podcasts. And I did that because, well, I thought it was a good, good enough content for me to share on, the podcast channel, but mainly because I wanted to use those episodes as practice runs for how to upload a podcast and go through those motions without having to do the whole thing that I'm doing right now, which is recording specifically for a podcast. So, you know, that was good. I learned how to, you know, figured out how to do that. It wasn't too complicated. I use the Anchor app, which is an app that I have known about for a number of years now. I think when they first launched, was really impressed with the app, and it's always been in the back of my mind. And so when the time came for me to want to do a podcast and post one, I went to Anchor first, and so far so good, I guess, and we'll see how that goes. First, I want to introduce myself. I think that's only right because I really didn't do that in the first two uploads that I made, especially now that this is a new medium. And I might even delete those first two episodes if I don't like them in the future, since this is the first kind of dedicated recording that I'm doing for this podcast, but we'll see how that goes. So my name is Hadi Youssef. I am an entrepreneur. I'm a podcaster now, I guess, a YouTuber. And I'm just a passionate entrepreneur about, you know, and I'm really passionate about solving problems and creating products that, you know, bring a lot of value to people. You know, that's pretty much it. I guess I'm 24 years old. I'm still kind of forming who I am and my perspective in this landscape. But what I'm excited about doing is just sharing the perspective that I have at this point in time, which is my experience thinking of an idea and creating a product and eventually selling that product and marketing it and going through all the motions that people go through when they are trying to, when they're starting a company and growing it and all this stuff. So what I really want to talk about are, you know, it's going to vary. There's not going to be I don't really have a set agenda from now for the next 10 episodes, because I really want to treat this medium as a way for me just to reflect on what's happening now. And, I have an idea of what's going to be happening in the future, but I wanted to keep it kind of open-ended and these episodes to be a real reflection at what's going on, what are the things that I'm pondering, what are the problems that I'm having, all related to business and the strategy and recruiting. And so that's what you can expect out of these episodes. So there's no, I hope it's not a big deal that it's pretty all over the place with each individual episode. And maybe even within a single episode, I might jump around a lot. But I think I'm going to allow myself to do that as I find my footing with how I want to treat this podcast, what I want to make it about. And so, I could have sat there for weeks and weeks and try to strategize about how I wanted to approach this vlog or this podcast. As you can see, I'm not used to saying podcast yet, but how I would treat this podcast and what the strategy would be for it. But I said, you know what, I'm just going to do what I did with my YouTube channel and just start and see where it takes me. And that way I enjoy the process a lot more and it's a lot less friction. And, I enjoy it. And if I'm enjoying it, then hopefully that comes off as, not this huge burden that I have to go through. So that's where my head is at. And so I'm just going to jump into this episode. And staying true to this desire for me just to reflect on what's going on now, I wanted to talk about what's going to be happening. So I'm recording this on a Sunday afternoon, and I have a this. So I want to talk about what's coming up this week. And so I'm, you know, weekends for me are very reflective, where kind of the first half of the week, the Friday and Saturday mornings of a weekend are, you know, to reflect on the week that just went by, and kind of a review and response, and just to see where, you know, what got done, what didn't get done, where I felt like I could have done better. I'm a very reflective type of person. I like to journal a lot. I like to put things down on paper, get them out of my head, especially because I'm a I don't have a co-founder, which I think is going to be a theme that I talk about a lot as a reason for a lot of the things that I do, like a YouTube channel and a podcast, because I need that venue or that platform to, you know, get things out of my head. Not having a co-founder makes things all kind of internal, and my co-founder at this point is kind of my notepad and my videos and stuff, and that's who I kind of bounce ideas off of. Obviously, in the real world, co-founders do a lot more than that, but you get what I'm saying. And so, yeah, the first half of the weekend is to reflect on the week that just passed, and then the second half, mainly Sundays, are kind of looking ahead. And so when I, you know, today is Sunday, and so I'm looking ahead at what's happening, and just to paint the picture, the startup that I have is called Borsa Finance. Sometimes I don't introduce certain things because I'm assuming the early audience that's listening to this is coming from my YouTube channel, which you can, if you are coming, if you have just found this podcast out of nowhere, you know, not from my YouTube channel, or you don't know who I am or anything like that, my YouTube channel is youtube.com/HadiYusuf, my full name. And you can just search my name. And I just make these types of videos where I reflect and kind of share and document what I'm up to in regards to my startup life and business life. And just do like day in the life type videos or reflections and kind of documenting. You know, we just won a app competition, so I documented from kind of 5-part episode series where we take it from me talking about we're going to be doing the app competition to us winning it, and my thoughts on all of that. So again, it's a Sunday, and so I'm reflecting at the week ahead. And so what is on the week ahead? Well, the main thing, you know, there's always something going on, but the main thing is that I am currently in this client discovery phase, or this customer discovery phase, of going out. And what that means is I'm just going out and meeting with my potential customers and learning about their world, learning about the industry, which for me, for Borsa Finance, which is my startup, is in the investor relations departments of publicly traded companies. And so I go and meet with the managers or the director or whatever the position is, that usually the heads of the investor relations departments, and just get to know them, first of all. It's all because it's all about building those relationships, because if I'm going to ultimately sell them something or get them to buy something or get them to run a beta or a pilot with us, then it's all about those relationships and all about that trust. And so, you know, of course, that's a big thing about, you know, what I'm going there to do is build that trust and build that relationship with those people. The other thing is obviously to learn about what they do and learn about the pain points that they have and learn about, you know, how they have tried to solve those pain points and, you know, what kind of budgets they have for solving those problems. All of that information and many other things all inform how I position my product and how I position my service and how I market my service and how I create my service and how, you know, what features or what real problems we want to solve first and foremost, and then what are the kind of the most important problems, what are the not as important problems, and you know that helps me and that helps inform the strategy that we are taking with Borsa. And you know, so that's what's going on at this point. I'll talk about more about where the product stands today We're not starting at zero. The product is not like, we have a product that's, about to be released in a couple weeks. And so this is more thinking about the longer term vision for the company and where I'm heading, where it's heading towards. It's not like I'm starting from zero. I already have a pretty clear understanding of where I want to take the product in the short term. Short term meaning 1 to 2 years, but I'm thinking if I'm going to build this, if I'm building the company that I really envision, that I really want to see in the world, then I want to have that 5-year vision, and I want to have the best understanding of the problem that I would be solving, and I want to hear it directly from the people that I would be, that will be my future customers. And so that's what I'm doing today. And so my goal is to meet with at least 20 different heads of investor relations departments of publicly traded companies. And where you find me today is at number 2 person, at the second company that I've met with. I already met with the first one, and this week I'm meeting with the second publicly traded company. And I say publicly traded company, because investor relations departments primarily are functions of investor relations, of publicly traded companies. Yes, private companies also do have investor relations departments, but it's much more mature and kind of standardized when it comes to publicly traded company due to the regulations around that stuff. What I want to talk about in this episode is just talking about how I'm preparing for this meeting, what kind of questions that I am preparing to ask. And I'm going to draw from some lessons and share some experience that I had with the first meeting that I went with and how I think that went. And I kind of want to get into the granular stuff and, talk about the very, how I asked the question, what I did when I first arrived at the meeting location and stuff like that. I think that's fun for me. And so I just want to, that's what I want to do in this episode. And so how I got the meeting was an investor from where I, an investor that I've known, an venture capitalist that I've known for, probably a year now. His name is Eric Steele. He's from, Elevate Ventures, which is a, kind of a venture capital institution, here in Indiana. And he's been close to the company, and we've been meeting, we see each other very often, and he's very close to kind of the progress and how I'm thinking about things. And, so he's close to what I'm doing. He's not an investor. I haven't raised any money yet, but he's very close to the company in that regard. And, he made the introduction to the, I told him what I was wanting to do. I told him that I was wanting to do this client discovery and learn as much as possible about the world of investor relations, because I have never worked in an investor relations department. I can only read online and kind of read the reports and the magazine articles and the kind of the trade magazines for investor relations. But as far as having any connections with investor relations or having any insight as to where the real pressing problems that we can solve, I don't have that that level of detail with it. And so I reached out to Eric, which was very easy. I just, told him, hey, I'm wanting to interview at least 20 investor relations and really start to connect the dots with what each of them are saying about problems that they're having. And I think that's a large enough sample size for me to take that information and help guide the strategy for the company as far as where the product is going to go and where the services are going to go. I told him that I have identified the first company that I want to go and meet with. And that was I live in Evansville, Indiana. And so there's not that many publicly traded companies around here. There's probably like 4 or 5, which is probably silly for some of the people who live in larger cities where there's dozens or maybe even 100 or so. But anyways, there's only 4 or 5. So you can actually probably guess if you just look up the publicly traded companies in the city that I'm in, that you can probably guess who I'm talking about. But I identified the first one, and it was off of the back of me winning the app competition, which was hosted by a local university, that kind of gave me more credibility for me to get those first meetings. And so that also made it it made it easier for Eric to introduce you, to make that introduction to the management team of the company and said, you know, this guy, he, you know, this is, I'd like to introduce you to Hadi Yusuf. He just won. He runs an app called Borsa, and they just won first place in the local university's app competition. And it just so happens that the director of investor relations also went to USI, and so, which is the university that I won the app competition at. So it all worked out that way, and that's how I got that first meeting. So now I can get to the point where I'm talking about the preparation. And so the preparation was, all right, so what do I want to get out of this meeting? You know, I'm going to be taking a considerable amount of their time, which is an hour, which to me seems like a long time for someone to give me out of their day, especially someone who has a lot of responsibilities. So what did I want to get out of it? And I wanted to make it seem as that I, you know, I wanted them to know and feel and totally see that I am valuing their time to the max, and that I am not taking advantage of it or not treating this lightly, but that I have done the absolute maximum amount of research and preparation for the questions and what I wanted to get out of it. When my mentality is, when they see that, you know, I make it about myself. You know, if I was in their shoes, what would I want to see about someone coming in to ask me about it? And I want to see that they were prepared. I want to see that they were actually interested in what they were asking me. And, you know, if they are, if they're passionate about it, then I'm going to be more likely to go the extra mile to help them get the information that they need, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's how I prepared for it. And I told myself that, you know, I need to prepare. I want to know exactly what I'm there to get out of them. And I want to be as transparent as to the stage of life that I'm in as far as where the company is and why I'm meeting with them. And I wanted to make it very clear, this is not a sales meeting. I'm not here to sell them on something. I'm here really to learn. Of course, in the back of my mind, and this is kind of between you and I, you being the podcast, that, you know, that first meeting, although I'm not there to sell them on anything, rest assured that that is the kind of the first sales meeting in a way, because that's the beginning of that relationship. Obviously, I don't think about it as that sounds a little harsh or cold-hearted, but, you know, I have to think about these things. And so I want to start off the relationship, obviously, on a good level, obviously. And so, but in the back of my mind, I know that, you know, I need to really invest and care for this relationship, because it's going to be important in the future. And it's not like I'm only taking value from them. The whole point of this relationship is that I'm learning about their world. I'm learning about their problems. I'm learning about their workday in order for me to create a product that makes their workday, some aspect of it, maybe a large aspect of it, a lot easier, a lot less friction filled, or a lot less time consuming. If I can give them back a set number of minutes or hours out of their workday, well, I've just really helped someone tremendously. And so it's a symbiotic relationship in that way. And so I don't feel as bad about me trying to get information out of them, because I'm doing it so that I can turn around and give them value right back. And so what did I do to prepare? So I started to see, you know, trying to get best practices for conducting client interviews and initial client discovery meetings. And the themes that I derived out of that research and that preparation was that, you know, it really depends on where in the product life you are at. For me, because Borsa is currently, you know, the reason why I'm having these meetings is not to create a product right now, right this second. I'm thinking more in the future. I don't have a direction for where the product what might be, or I don't have an idea of what the product is going to be that I'm building for them. Because of that, it's very open-ended for what I'm trying to learn. It's not like I know that I'm going in to sell them to learn about a specific tool, like maybe a CRM or some kind of marketing tool that they have. No, it's actually very open-ended. I'm not here to verify the need for an existing product that I have. I'm here to very much learn about overall their world, and then it's my job to kind of dig deeper and go narrower into a specific, very specific problem that I want to solve. And so the types of questions that I would ask are not about a specific problem, but just overall. I would first by asking them, you know, tell me about what you do, tell me about how you spend your day, Then I start to dig a little deeper. You know, what tools do you use? Because I ultimately am going to be one of the vendors that I want them to buy from me, whatever that tool is. I want, you know, the Borsa is going to be a future product that they're paying for. So I want to get an idea of what else are they paying for. And so I ask them about, you know, what tools do they use throughout their day? What are the most frequently used services, tools or products that they use? Start to get an idea. Okay, well, that this is... And then that also helps guides, you know, when they tell me it's, oh, we use Salesforce. Okay, well, that tells me, oh, okay, that's an interesting. So they have a budget for Salesforce. That's just an example. But so I ask them, so I dig deeper. I say, so why do you bother with this specific aspect of your day? Why do you have to do this certain task? Is it required? You know, is it hard? You know, so I also ask, you know, who do you talk to throughout your day? Who are the people you're most frequently communicating with? And then I also just ask, you know, what do you love about investor relations? What do you hate about investor relations? And so let's say they tell me about some certain process or something they have to go that they do, or they mention a certain activity that they have to do. I kind of double click on that and I say, well, can you walk me through how you prepare for that or how you conduct this process that you just told me about? And so they start to walk me through it. And what I'm doing is I'm just listening for what their typical day is like, because ultimately you can't just go in and ask them, hey, do you think in the future you're going to be using this product? Would you use this product? Would you pay for this product in the future? That from the research that I've done and from the kind of the best practices is not the right way to go. And the reason for that is people are very optimistic about what they're going to do in the future. And you don't want to take that optimistic data or the optimistic thing that they're saying and build a whole product around it or build a whole service around it. Because the people, when they're in these types of meetings, they're overly optimistic. When you go and tell them, hey, would you use this future product that makes your life easier? Well, of course they're going to say yes, because why wouldn't they? But so instead, because I don't want to avoid that false information or that kind of that false positive, I try to be someone who observes their current day-to-day reality, because that is the best predictor for what they're going to be doing in the future. I don't want to hear what they think they're going to be doing in the future. No, I want to see what they're doing right now and in the past, and then it's my job to figure out what that really means for what I can get them to do in the future. And so when I listen to them describing what they love about it, where the pain points are, I'm not waiting for them to tell me about a need that they have as far as like a, you know, I'm not waiting for them to tell me, yes, I want a marketing tool. No. I'm listening for the product that they have the problem that they have. And it's my job to figure out what the product that will solve that problem that they have. They're here to tell me about their problems and their pain points, and then it's my job in the future to give them that solution. It's not a very scripted type of conversation. I have an idea of what I want to ask, and I just kind of, you know, I just go with the flow and see how the conversation's going. And so some of the things I try to get out of them is for this first meeting that I had a number of weeks ago, I really wanted to know who they report to. I wanted to get an idea of what the reporting structure is for investor relations department, because that can inform kind of the sales process. So, okay, well, do they have the authority? Does the director of investor relations, does that person have the authority to authorize the purchase of this product? Or do they have to go and get the approval from a higher up? And who is the higher up? And what's that like? And so I make sure I understand that dynamic about who they report to, what what that dynamic is like. Another thing I ask is, what are the constraints of their day, their week, their quarter, their month? Where do they feel the most pressure? If they start to tell me about all these needs that they have to do or these requirements that they have to do, I try to take a step back and I say, well, can you tell me about how all that kind of connects and how that all plays together? I try to get them to tell me, trying to paint that picture for me as much as possible. What else do I ask them? One of my favorite questions, one of the questions that I had that, well, I was very happy with the response for, was I asked them when was the last time they signed up for a service to make their job easier. The reason why I ask this is now I get an idea of how frequently they are looking into buying new services, looking into, taking a risk by signing up for a new service. Are they doing it, do they only sign up for a new service once every 5 years, or is it once a quarter, or is it once a year? I'm trying to get an idea of how frequently they're looking for solving business problems. And so that was a very insightful question or answer that they had to that question. I talked about I asked them about the experience of buying that service. How long did the sales cycle take? Are you happy with how that went? Et cetera, et cetera. Another thing that I ask is, what tools or services do they currently use? And how they settled on those services and how they were, ended up choosing those services. That was a very insightful answer that they gave, because it helped me understand what they're willing to pay for. And so he would just go on and kind of ask questions as a response to what they were saying. I would ask them how much a specific product that they talked about cost them. What kind of deals, what kind of contracts they sign? Do they sign yearly contracts? Do they only do multi-year contracts? What is their ideal process? And who, when they sign up for a contract, who has to approve of it? Is it their boss? Is it the finance? Is it the legal department? Is it the sales and procurement process? I just want to understand whose hand is in the bucket when these things are being transacted. And so those are all very valuable pieces of information for me to start collecting. It's not so much valuable for the specific company. Obviously it is, but what I'm trying to get out of it, as I said before, is I'm trying to do at least 20 of these interviews. So if I can do 20 of these interviews and start to connect the dots between the same answers, because I'm usually asking, there's going to be a set of questions that I'm asking to each company, each of the 20. And I do that so that I can start to connect the dots and start to compare and contrast the different companies, because I want to understand what is an industry-wide problem, what is an industry-wide circumstance versus a very specific company-wide problem, because I want to make sure I don't create a product that's only for one company. No, I want to create a product that's used by every investor relations department, just as an example. I try to understand about the integration that they needs to happen. Do the products that they use and the services that they use, do they have to integrate with the other products that they use? All that. And so I'll go through the conversation. It's a very conversational type thing. It's not this Q&A type thing. It's a very conversational. I let them talk. They let me talk. They're always asking about me and my background, and I try to avoid, I try to give them enough, my response to that, but I don't want to spend my whole hour with them talking about me. I'm here to talk about them. And so I try to push the conversations onto them and have them be the people who are talking, not so much me. I'm here to really just to listen. And so by the end of the conversation, I usually leave with three questions. And I really like these questions because the response that I got from at least this first interview that I did a couple weeks ago with the investor relations department was, the first one I asked was, who else should I talk to? And I do this, this is kind of a strategic thing that I do. By the end of the meeting, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but, because of my passion in their world and my I understand when they tell me about a certain nuance of their workday, because I've done the research and because I've really looked into the world of investor relations, I really already understand it. I just want to hear them say it. And so I'm able to, respond in a way that makes them feel like I know what they're talking about. I understand their pain points and stuff. And so they really enjoy it because it's almost like a therapeutic session for them, because they're just kind of venting about the problems that they have and the solutions that aren't working or the solutions that are working. And, it's not every day that someone comes into their office and is interested in their workday. especially investor relations departments, that's not always the most popular department, I would say. And so they actually enjoy it when someone comes in and is genuinely interested in their workday. And so when I ask them, who else should I talk to? Well, by now, they're quote unquote impressed with my thoroughness and my passion about it, that they are now very open to introducing me to their counterparts at other companies. And so the meeting that I have this week actually came from a reference from the first meeting that I had. Because the meeting went so well with the first one, the lady, she was very open to introducing me to her friend at another public company, at another investor relations department. And so that's how I have this meeting. That's tomorrow. And of course, my goal in tomorrow's meeting on Monday is to, you know, have the meeting go as well as possible so that this individual is very open and very comfortable by introducing me to another investor relations department. And when you have an introduction from another investor relations department to another investor relations department, that's a very credible introduction. And you're just building your connections with investor relations departments. And so for me, that's a great position to be in because I'm optimizing right now for forming these relationships. I want to be able to have all these emails, have all these contacts, and have all these relationships with people so that I can ultimately sell them on the product, help them solve the problems that they have, but also just call them up at any given point in time and ask them a question, or if I see an article that I think they will like, I can send it to them and just start really building those relationships. So that's a question that I like to ask is, who else should I talk to? Because, you know, that secures my follow-up, my next meeting with them. And that also tells me that when someone is willing to introduce me to their counterpart at another company, that helps me tell that tells me that the meeting went well because, again, I try to put myself in their shoes. If someone came to me and was totally unprepared, totally unprofessional, and we didn't get along, I'm not going to be willing to risk my reputation by introducing this individual coming to me that's unprepared to a colleague of mine or to a counterpart at another company. That'll make me look bad. On the other hand, if someone comes to me and they're totally prepared, we totally hit it off, we have a great conversation, I help this entrepreneur out, I really want to see them succeed, well, now I'm excited enough to risk my reputation. And because it's not really a risk anymore, I'm very open to helping this person coming to me, which is, in this case is me, I'm very open to going to introducing them to someone else. And so that tells me that, okay, things are going in the right direction at least. And so that's a question that I like to end with. Another question that I like to end with is there anything else that I should have asked? The reason why I put this at the end is by the end of the meeting, they have an understanding, an idea of what I'm trying to get at, what kind of information I'm trying to gather from them, and why I'm sitting down with them. And so they're intelligent people. They know what I'm trying to get out of it. And so I asked them this to make sure that, you know, maybe there's this huge thing that I'm dancing around that I don't realize I'm dancing around. You know, maybe this huge nuance in the sales process specifically for investor relations departments that I'm not aware of, that I'm dancing around, and that knowing how this nuance works or that it exists is a very important piece because of the product that I'm trying to create. Now they'll tell me, well, you should have asked about how you respond to such and such things, because that's a big deal in our world. And so I give them the chance to make sure that I am asking them the right questions based off of where the types of questions that I have been asking them. So that's a question. And then kind of the final question is if they have any questions for me. Usually by this point, which is by the end of kind of an hour, just call it 70 minutes, 60, 70 minutes. They've done all the talking. And so I try to give them a chance to, be like, for them to ask me questions. Usually at the beginning, they ask me about how I got started, what I do, all this stuff. But by the end of the conversations, new curiosities have probably come up on their side. And so I give them a chance to ask me and so that I can answer it. And that went really well on the first meeting. And that actually helps build more of a rapport and all that stuff. So that was my experience, and that is kind of what I'm taking towards my next experience. So that's an idea of the types of questions that I ask in the meeting. But there's a lot more to it, in that you have to be very aware of the types of responses and the body language and the kind of the, you have to really read between the lines when they're answering specific types of questions. And you have to be ready to adjust the line of questioning that you have when they respond a certain way. And, you know, as I advance with these interviews, as I do more of them, I'll be closer to the, you know, I'll have a good idea, you know, by the fifth interview, by the 10th interview, and keep in mind, I'm trying to do 20 of these. And so by the 10th one, I'll probably have a pretty good idea of the product that we want to build in the future. And so I can start to ask more specific problems around I can start to ask more specific questions around the problem that I'm envisioning that Borsa is going to be creating or solving. And so that is where you get a little sensitive, because you, again, on this point of that I spoke about earlier, about this notion that you don't want them to be overly optimistic about the future. For me, at least, because I'm naturally passionate about this space and creating a product that solves a big problem for the space, my passion and my enthusiasm will rub off on the person that I'm meeting with, especially when the person I'm meeting with is someone who is in the industry. And of course, they're going to be passionate about it as well. But when I'm also passionate about it, it just amplifies it. But really, it's kind of the enemy in this case, because I don't want them to be overly optimistic. I don't want them to be overly nice to me, because they see that I'm passionate, that they sugarcoat certain things, or they sugarcoat, you know, if I tell them, hey, I have this product, will it work for you? Will you buy this thing? Because they see I'm so passionate, they're nice people. And so they're not going to straight up tell me, no, we have no interest in paying for something like this. It's not a real valuable area for us to invest in. It's not a big enough problem. They're not going to straight up and tell you that when they see that you're so passionate, that you've put in all this time of creating this product. So the real balance you have to have is you have to be as unemotional about your product. And keep in mind, for me, because I don't have that concrete product yet, it's easier for me to do right now, because I'm not really emotional about any product yet, aside from, you know, any product actually, because I'm still in the very early stages of client discovery. But what I'm saying is, as I get closer and start formulating and start getting more concrete kind of clarity on the product that I want to create, I will naturally be a little bit emotional about trying to get the verification for the need for the product, that I have. So the point is, I have to make sure that I'm not overly enthusiastic about the product or the solution. And instead, I want to hear in a very authentic and a very natural way, them telling me about the problem they have. And then it's my job to create the product for them. So when I reflect on how the first meeting went with the investor relations department a couple weeks ago, I prepared my questions. I prepared my kind of my notebook that I want to take with me, and just, you know, I know that I'm prepared, but I also want them to see that I'm prepared, because I want them to take it as serious as possible. And of course, part of that is I dress up. I wear a dress shirt with a jacket on it, and you know, dressy pants, and nice shoes. Again, I just want to look as presentable, as professional, as possible. And again, it ties into, you know, if this person is going to be ultimately introducing me to another investor relations department, or in the future when they are trying to get approval from their CFO to purchase the product that I've created, I want them to see me as someone who's low risk, who's someone they can bet on, who's someone they can introduce to others, who they can present to their boss. And so I iron my shirts. I prepare everything to be as sharp as possible. You know, I care a lot about the presentation and how the image that I have for them, because I know it's just low-hanging fruit. And for me, with the cards stacked against me, as far as any entrepreneur trying to create a especially an enterprise product, you know, a product for businesses, you know, it's a very the barrier to entry is pretty high. This isn't the product is not going to be this app that you just download from the app store, like a Snapchat or a Fortnite or something. You know, the barrier to entry is high, and so I want to pick off any low hanging fruit as much as possible. Obviously, you have to have substance at the end of the day. You have to have a real product that's solving a real problem. But any bit helps, and I want to make sure that I am not making it more difficult than I need to. You know, it, especially maybe in Silicon Valley, it's not a big deal if you come to a meeting like that and a hoodie and you know, in jeans or whatever. But here in the Midwest, at least, I get the sense that that's not as, you know, it would still work out, I would say, but there's a little bit of expectation that you dress up a little nicer, at least, especially as a young person meeting with an older person. You know, entrepreneurship here, it's getting better in the sense that it's more accepted and more looked at as this exciting thing. But at the end of the day, I feel like there is some, you know, you're just a young guy. What do you know about this stuff? And so I point is, I try to look presentable. I try to look like I really am just really sharp and really presentable and really prepared. And so what I like to do is, you know, for this first meeting that I had, we met at the lobby of their company and of like the company headquarters. And so we didn't meet in that person's office. When I met them, I tried to, and there are these tables where in the lobby, and that's where we would be meeting. And so I picked a table where I could see the person approaching me from a distance. I sat down and I get there early, and I, you know, wait for them to come out, kind of the elevators or whatever. And, you know, when I see them approaching me, I get up and I walk to them before they get to me. I extend my hand. I shake their hand. I try to give a warm greeting and a you know, just to be this. It's almost like I'm welcoming them into their own lobby, if you will. I did that, and that kind of came naturally. I didn't really plan that ahead. I didn't really think to plan that ahead. When I got there, I said, "Well, I need to really." You know, it was something I thought of at the time, and I just really wanted to. Really feel confident, make them feel comfortable, make them feel this warm connection that we have, because it's the first impression, and I really want to make that really, really as best as possible. But I think if I want to give advice at this point, I would say don't do anything that's non-authentic to you. And if I would have done that and it felt like I was out of my element, where I'm got up and went and shook their hand and kind of walked them back to the table and had them sit down first, and then I sat down. You know, if that didn't seem natural to me, I wouldn't have done it, because that would have probably backfired and probably this clumsy thing where it felt like, you know, who is this guy? What is he doing here? Stuff. But it was very natural to me, and it was a great way to start off the conversation. And when we sat down, we were able to start off. As I'm reflecting on the first meeting, what I did was, you know, I took out my Moleskin, my journal, and, you know, and I asked if I could record the meeting with my phone. And I told them, you know, the way I, get that permission is I told them, I'm very paranoid about missing any valuable information that you might give me. Would it be okay with you if I, do an audio recording of this interview? You don't have to worry about it at all. It's only for my reference. It's not something that I'm going to be publishing or sharing with anyone. And, at least for this first meeting that I had, she was very open to it. And so that was actually very helpful, because, something that I didn't realize would be difficult for me was capturing with pen and paper the things that the person was saying. And so having that audio recording that I could refer back to after the meeting was very helpful. So the lesson there for me is either learn how to capture the information that I'm getting out of them in a more efficient way, try to use more acronyms, try to use more graphics or little pictures that I could do as far as like good or bad or, you know, whatever. rather than trying to write out everything they're saying. So that's something that I have to work on. But I think I'll probably get better at that as more meetings go on, and we'll see how I do tomorrow. And so that's how that went. I talked about the kind of questions that I ask. I talked about the preparation. I talked about just the presentation and all that. But overall, it went very well. Again, this is kind of the stage that I'm at. It's kind of funny because I'm doing this client discovery phase for kind of this future product that the company's going to create in parallel to me working with the developers that I'm working with on launching the consumer product that we have coming out in a couple weeks. And so it's kind of this weird dynamic where I'm meeting to talk to them about a future product, but I already have a product that's coming out soon. And that's just about me preparing for the future and really guiding the company towards this grand vision that I have. And I'll kind of get into that. And so everything that I've been talking about is how the first meeting went. For this upcoming meeting, which is tomorrow morning, again, today is Sunday, and so tomorrow morning is Monday. That's when my meeting is with the second company, where I'm going to be doing very similar things to what I just described, which is just asking them questions and starting to get an idea of what pain points they have. One of the things that I want to get out of this upcoming interview that I didn't do as well a job at with the first interview was get more details as to how, you know, one thing that I didn't ask for in the first interview was how open they are, or how, if they, in the past, if they have signed on to do a pilot or a beta test or something. Is this something that they're interested in? So I really wanted to get an idea of if they do that kind of stuff. And so I want to make sure that I do that for tomorrow's meeting. And the other thing is, this is probably a little confusing the way I'm describing it because I haven't really set it up properly, but I keep mentioning this. I mentioned this consumer product that's coming out soon, but I'm meeting with these people with these investor relations departments for a future enterprise product. So you might be wondering, what's up with that? It seems like kind of all over the place. The consumer product is also in the investor relations department, so it's not totally foreign to it. The goal for the future is maturing this consumer grade product into an enterprise level product that has different needs to it. And so they're really both kind of the same thing. So what I want to get out of this meeting that I didn't get out of the first meeting was that I want to get more clarity and their perspective on the consumer product that I already have. I guess it's kind of confusing when I don't talk about the product. I really need to figure out what I want to do about that as far as like how I present it, how I communicate what that product is. Because I'm not trying to purposely keep away, like not tell you what the product is. It's more about not knowing how to position it or how to introduce it in this podcast, because I'm not doing this podcast to sell you on the product. Again, so let me take a quick break here. This is me just thinking out loud, and that's kind of what I want to do with this podcast. So I'll have to think about that for the future episodes, but for now, I'm not going to get into it too much because I feel like I've been recording for a while. And again, I'm still learning about all this, how I want to do this podcast. And so I think that's all I wanted to get out of this episode, which is just to talk about my process for these client discovery meetings and what I'm preparing for tomorrow, which is to do more of the same that I've done with the first interview, but with tweaking some things so that I get more information that I didn't feel like I got out of the first meeting. So I hope to report back in a future episode of how things are going. And I'll also start to share thoughts on things outside of the client discovery. I'll start to share thoughts on the consumer product that I have and the release process and the strategy for launching it and all that stuff. So if you've listened to up until this point, I really appreciate it. I hope you can bear with me as I figure it out I'm having a good time. This was fun for me to kind of think through it and reflect on how things have been going, especially with this client discovery phase, because it's a timely thing and that it's kind of what I'll be doing in the morning. So I hope to, so if you want, I guess if you want to see more details or get more of an idea of what I have going on, you can visit my YouTube channel. You can just search my name, Hadi Youssef, and you can find my channel there and look at my videos. So that's all I have to share today. I really appreciate you listening out there, whoever you are. Reach out to me if you are enjoying this, or if you have any feedback. You can find me on Twitter, on YouTube, on kind of anywhere. You can search for me and you'll find me. So that's all for today. Thank you so much for listening. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.